indictment, a formal written charge of crime, as the basis for trial of the accused. Indictment. The drama you're about to hear is from New York City and is based on stories of the criminal law with authentic procedures as detailed by Eliezer Lipsky, former assistant district attorney of New York. It is the assistant district attorney who directs criminal investigations, assembles facts and witnesses, builds the case to a just indictment.
McCormick.
McCormick? This is Norman Brabson.
Make it fast, Brabson. I'm on a case.
I am a case. Come and pick me up.
You've been drinking.
Sure. But wouldn't you belt one down if you just killed a woman? Drinking? Sure. Drunk? Ma.
You killed a woman?
Dead.
Brabson, where are you? I'll call homicide. Or since you apparently are in the mood to turn yourself in, will you go to the nearest precinct?
Look, McCormick.
Now, hold it a second. Tom, pick up the other line. Get the switchboard out. Stall this maniac. Get me a trace.
Sure, Ed.
You don't have to try to trace me.
Mr. McCormick got a wild one on 239. See if you can trace it. That's right, yeah.
Never mind, Tom.
Oh, sorry, Mr. McCormick, so skip it.
I'll talk, but only to you. You couldn't make anything stick the last time. I want to give you a crack at me again. That same detective with you, what's his name? Muscle?
Tom Russo. Where are you, Brabson? Where are you calling from?
Bring the flatfoot along. I'll buy you both a drink.
Brabson, where are you?
No cops. None of those homicide jockeys. But I'll give you a complete confession, McCormick.
Russo and I will be alone. Where are you calling from?
Drugstore up the street, but I'll be at my place. You remember it from the last time, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Be there. Your place. Who'd you kill?
My wife? Who else? You think I'm going to go around shooting up strangers?
All right, Brabson, put the drink down.
Well, watch the door now.
I know my business, Brabson.
Now, where is she? Is it a gag?
On the other side of that sofa in front of the fireplace.
You did a good job. Okay, Tom, call the medical examiner.
Don't touch the phone.
More fingerprints?
That's right. And look, that one's her glass. That one was his. And over there in the ashtray, the filter tips are hers, the regular butts are his.
Whose?
Who else? Man I caught her with.
In other words, you're pleading manslaughter right from the start. Is that it?
Look, McCormick, I came in. I mean, I heard them talking from the outside, so I took a handkerchief to the doorknob, and I came in and they were smoking.
Now, wait a minute. Take it from the top. Did you know the man? Did you know she'd been seeing him?
Oh, I knew she was seeing somebody. Seeing, that's a gentleman's way of putting it. Sure.
So you burst in on them. You caught them in flagrante delicto. Your husbandly rage rose to the surface. And instead of killing the dastardly invader of the sanctity of your marriage, your fifth marriage,
six,
you killed her. The unwritten law.
All right. Come down off it, McCormick. Believe it or not, that's exactly how it was. I came in.
All right. We'll go into it downtown. But I choose to not. And when you're booked and indicted, it's going to be for murder one.
Now, wait a minute.
Shut up, Brabson. Detective Russo, call communications and have them notify all commands.
Right.
You might tell them to notify the chief inspector and get the precinct to send a uniformed man to take the aided case till the lab men show up.
I can show you everything.
Downtown, what? Huh? Just one thing. When did all this happen?
I can tell you that, Mr. McCormick.
Our watch stopped at 11:30.
Yes, that's right. It was just 11:30. The news was coming on. His fingerprints might even be on the dial.
You didn't answer me before. Whose?
All right. Let's go downtown.
Where was the gun?
I told you, in the bedroom.
So you caught them on the couch. You walked into the bedroom. Deliberately got the gun. Deliberately came back. Deliberately shot her.
I told you that. I told you that. But deliberately. The gun, sure. Deliberately back into the living room. I admit that. I volunteered that. But only to throw a scare in her, to cut it out. But we got into the screaming match. You said things, I said things, and in the heat of anger, I pulled the trigger.
The heat of anger. That's a lovely phrase. Where'd you read that and memorize it?
Look, McCormick, you know a lot about me.
I know a lot more than I can prove in a court of law, too.
All right, so I'm a playboy, so I'm the man with the little black book. I love him and marry him and leave him. All right! This one I loved.
Sure.
You lunkhead.
All right, all right.
This one I love.
Hey, Tom, give him a cigarette.
Come on. Snap out of it.
Thanks.
All right, so you loved her. When did you first discover she was carrying on?
Oh, you won't believe this.
Oh, that's the way to answer a question. Why don't you try me?
The phone bills. Me, the son of the Copper King, squawking about phone bills. Well, even a rich man likes to know where the money goes.
Get to it.
All right, I checked a couple of months' bills. Toll calls to everywhere. Florida, Paris, Hollywood, Vegas. And Rye.
Rye, New York?
That's right. Who do I know in Rye? Who did I call in Rye? I check, I think. I find I couldn't have called Rye those dates.
Oh, wait. The dates of the toll call?
That's right. I was... Well, I was busy myself.
I'll bet.
The others were for fun. This one I love.
Get to it.
All right. I call the number. A woman answers. Hello? I give it the... Who is this, please? And she gives it the... This is Mrs. D... Well, that's it. Sorry, wrong number.
Mrs. Who?
Doesn't take me long to find him. One of the gray flannel boys. I find him, I watch him, I trace him to my place every couple of nights, every couple of weeks, and just to make sure.
Wait a minute, who is he?
I call his home while he's playing house in mine. And what does Mrs. Loverman say? I'm sorry, Mr. Loverman is busy at his office tonight.
And what did you say?
Well, I guess I have to admit it sooner or later.
Go ahead.
I called just tonight. Well, it's 4 a.m. now, so I guess you'd say last night. Just to make sure. I knew he was in there. I called his home, and when his wife gave me the busy at the office bit, I said, that's what you think. That's why I didn't want you to touch the phone. I figured he called from my place and the prince...
What's his name?
You'll find out.
Come on.
No, nothing against him, though I admit I could have killed him if he'd been there when things got hot.
When did he leave?
Well, I came in like 11:25. I sized it up. I went for the gun. When I came out of the bedroom, he was gone.
Say 11:26, 7?
Yes, around there. Give or take door in a minute, either way.
The name? How stupid can you be?
Look, McCormick, I've given you a confession. Call in a stenographer, line up the facts as I've told them to you, and I'll sign it.
A confession to manslaughter, unpremeditated murder.
Which it was.
Which you can't prove unless you can prove there was a man in your apartment when you came home, a man with your wife.
She's dead. She can't prove
the
it.
The place is lousy with fingerprints. The glasses, the doorknob. He grabbed the doorknob on the way out.
Oh, you saw him run out.
I came out of the bedroom with a gun, and I heard him turn the doorknob.
Fingerprints, if they come up, the prints could be from the last time. Don't tell me about the glasses, the cigarette butts, the phone calls, the rest of the hogwash you've been handing
out. Hogwash? Not
tell me his name. His name could mean the difference between your getting off and going to the chair, stupid.
Look, if I'd have thought you'd try to pin murder in the first degree on me, I'd never have called you. I'd have gotten lost. You'd never have found me. I'd pack it in here and disappear as far away as a passport could take me. I called you, remember? I called you.
What was his name?
He was there. I tell you, he was there.
He better have been, or you're dead. All right, Tom, we'll work from the prints and this lying snake's phone bills. And he better have been there.
Get the picture. Are you taking a high school or college correspondence course through USAFE? Or are you planning to in the near future? If you are, then this announcement is for you. Several courses offered by USAFE may now be studied two different ways at the same time. Confusing? Not at all. The first method of study is through the regular correspondence course. The second is by means of USAFE's telecourses, or courses on film. That's right. You can attend classes in your own recreation room, library, or any other building in which a standard 16-millimeter projector can be set up to run the film. These courses are being distributed for the use of correspondence students who have no teachers available, or whose teachers wish to use the films as additional teaching material. The half-hour classes vary in number from 12 to 20, depending on the subject. Why not take advantage of these films to increase your knowledge and understanding? Ask your education officer for details, then enroll with USAFE and let a telecourse be your guide.
Mr. McClay, please sit down.
How did you find out? How did you find out?
Phone bills. You did call from the Brabson house, didn't you?
Stupidly.
Yeah. The whole thing was, I'm trying to point out the fact that you're not in any way a suspect. Brabson's confessed to the killing.
Murderer.
No. Manslaughter is the case she's trying to make out. In the heat of jealousy, anger, he says he could have killed you. That's how far he went.
Killed me.
Mm-hmm.
Killed me when?
When you ran out of the apartment.
Who ran? I let myself out.
You did call your wife that night.
And told her I'd be home at...
That was clever.
You never denied you were there that night.
I was there. But not when he came in. Man, he must have been watching from across the street. The fire escape, the closet, his car, I don't know, but I never saw him come in, and he never saw me go out.
You're telling me that you weren't there when he came in, and he had no cause to get so spontaneously angry and kill her unpremeditatedly.
I don't understand your legal mumbo-jumbo.
Mr. McCormick doesn't believe his story. He needs you to prove Brabson killed his wife deliberately. It's the difference between manslaughter... Slap on the wrist.
Sure, the unwritten law. But he never saw us together.
And murder one. The chair. Mr. McClay, you better come downtown with me.
Am I under arrest? Am I a suspect? What?
No. No, you're the important witness. Or non-witness. The witness who wasn't there.
Mr. McClay, can you prove you weren't there?
Weren't there when?
I'd prefer not to tell you.
You tell us when you left the apartment.
No later than 11:20, if that late. 11:15 would be too early, but 11:18 would be closer.
Prove it.
I caught the 11:35.
Out of Grand Central, your train home?
That's right. That night, I caught the 11:35. Mm-hmm. If I missed the 11:35, my next train is the 12:05, and the next after that is the milk train. But I made the 11:35.
You're saying, I gather, you can't make it from the Brabson apartment, including the elevator, finding a taxi, reaching Grand Central, going through it to the track.
Track 13, farthest away from the entrance.
All right.
All right, what?
We'll check the time out.
All right, but check it my way. Allow yourself 5 minutes for contingencies, the way every commuter learns to do when it's a question of that last train.
Why contingencies?
Because all of your taxis are working the theater district and the nightclub district that time, and it's hard to find a cruiser way up on the avenue at that hour. And when you've got a wife who... a suspicious wife who's heard the... have to stay late at the office story for years. Even though she had to move to the country, she got you into the rat race. She asks you who you're married to, her or your job, and then keeps you grinding your brains to powder so you can keep the house and the kids and the mortgage and the lawnmower and the second car and the country club. When you've got that kind of a wife, you not only allow yourself 5 minutes, but... you call her, and you tell her you're taking the 11:35, and you make the 11:35.
Things aren't so good at home?
Oh, don't worry. We'll stick it out. Three kids. For them, I can live it out with her.
Mm-hmm. And she?
She's a good mother. For them, she'll live it out with me. Unless this makes the balloon go up.
Hmm?
Upsets the apple cart, blows the deal.
Can you prove you took the 11:35?
You're the law. The taxi driver, the conductor, my wife, the neighbors who heard the car come in, the taxi drivers at the station. Ask anybody.
That's right, Mrs. McLean. The night of the 16th.
You mean the morning of the 17th?
What's that?
The 11:35 gets to the station at 12:07. Then there's the trip home. That's 15 minutes if it isn't foggy. We frequently have fog in the valley.
Say, 20 top?
Yes. So when Tom takes the 11:35, he's home latest 12:25 or 30.
Well, that night, the 16th, he was home at 12:30, huh? Can you give me definite proof of that, Mrs. McLean? Say, lights in the neighbors' houses, people who recognize the sound of his car. I mean, a Porsche is a pretty distinctive motor.
No, I can't.
I beg your pardon?
He didn't make the 11:35 that night. He came home at 3 o'clock with the milk train the next morning.
She's lying. I never knew she hated me enough to lie. Look, I came in at 12:30 and she said office, huh? And we fought all night, but she's lying to get even with me. Somebody can prove she's lying.
No taxi driver identified you. The neighbors were all asleep, and the conductor couldn't pick you out of a lineup as a passenger on his train that
night.
But
I was on it. I was on it.
Ah, what difference does it make now? You're not a suspect. You don't have to prove anything.
You don't understand.
I'm trying to make you understand. There's no point in your trying to prove you weren't there. I can't use you. The defense will murder you. No, I have to go in there with a thin case. I'll go for murder one, sure. But I'll have to settle for manslaughter.
I won't. She was my girl. She was his wife, but she was my girl. All right, I've played around. Lots of women. But this one I loved. I want to see him burn. You have to put me on the stand. I'll swear I was never there. They'll believe me. Look. My commutation ticket's punched that night, the 16th.
Ticket? What good is it? Wait a minute. Let me see that ticket.
See? The date.
Never mind the date. What was that conductor's name again? Now listen to the man.
I don't know him. Who's he?
Mr. Weiss is a conductor. He works the 11:35 from Grand Central.
No, no, I swing. That week I worked 11:35, not my regular train.
That's why he didn't recognize me. To the regular conductors, I'm a regular.
But what's all this jibber-jabber?
Shut up, shut up. All right, Mr. Weiss, go on. About the ticket.
Well, like I told Mr. McLay, I was sorry I didn't recognize him. But if I'd known he was using the regular commutation ticket, which it's dated, I mean, he rides on the 16th, we punched the 16th, you see.
Yeah, show him.
Him?
That man.
Sure. See?
All right, all right. So you make confetti, so?
It's a little heart. The punch makes a little heart-shaped hole.
Huh? That's very sentimental.
Yeah, I told my wife when he assigned me the punch.
Mr. Weiss, tell him what you told Mr. McLay and me.
About the punch?
That's right.
Well, you don't find many people who know that, but every conductor's got his own punch. I mean, he with a heart, another's an arrow, a half moon, a little zig, a little zag. Thousands, all different. Look, Mr. McLay's commutation ticket. Look at all them different punches.
Oh, I'm impressed.
You ought to be. Because there are only two punches like that in the whole system. One of them's in the railroad controller's office. The other in the conductor's possession.
Oh, wait, McCormick. I never said...
You said McLay was in your apartment when you came in. That was what made you kill your wife, claim the unwritten law. But this conductor and no other conductor punched McLay's ticket that same night on the 11:35.
All right, I had the times wrong. It was earlier, sure.
Sure, sure. Go ahead. Change your story. Anything you like. Just tell me one thing. Why did you try it? Didn't you think he'd come forward and admit he'd had anything to do with her? Was that it? Come on.
No. No, I'm not talking. Nothing.
You'll talk. Detective Russo, show the other gentlemen out. We can talk to them later. Rapson, you'll talk now. And you'll burn. The story you just heard was drawn from New York City and based on stories of the criminal law as detailed by Eliezer Lipsky, former assistant district attorney. The names of all persons and places were changed. Indictment is written by Alan Sloan, produced by Nathan Kroll, and directed by Paul Roberts. Nat Pullman is starred as Edward McCormick. Jack Arthur is heard as Tom Russo. Also in the cast were Ian Martin, Mason Adams, Rebecca Sand, Phil Kramer. This is Stuart Metz, inviting you to listen next week at this same time for another Indictment.
Has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.